Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kamala did what Kamala always does. She just put her head down and she went to work.
Atta girl.
Is that AI?
No.
Is that real?
No, that happened. Was goodness. That last night or Saturday night?
Yeah, I think it was last night. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. How dare they?
Kamala, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Hey, I mean, Doug said it, right? Doug would know. Jeez. I'm going to, you know.
Kamala did what Kamala always does. Oh, she just put her head down and she went to work.
Wow.
How dare they?
Oh, man. How dare you take something out of context, Gregory?
Say, you know, the grindstone, he just...
I'm sorry, Dawn. I should be ashamed of myself.
Shame.
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 Well, I'm definitely ashamed of myself. I have no problem admitting it. 707, we've got a lot of good stuff to get to, but let's get to the news. Round number two. Head always on a swivel, the great Dawn Stenson.
And good morning this Monday morning. Yes, November 4th, Election Eve. We are sponsored this morning by Malvern Retreat House. I think we're all going to need Malvern Retreat House after this election, quite frankly.
I'm going to go. I'm going to check myself into a facility until April.
Oh, holy moly. So let's talk about it as we look at Philadelphia news. And we talked about, you know, all the concerns of election integrity. But the advice this morning is make sure you get out to vote. The advice from all sides is make sure that you stay in line no matter what, as Philadelphia, not just the surrounding region, not just Pennsylvania, but Philadelphia, expecting record turnout. That's the word from Philadelphia city officials. So everybody's saying just stay in line, keep your cool, and for sure make sure that your battery on your phone is fully charged. So let's talk about it as we look at what's happening in Philadelphia. We do have this investigation. It looks like a tragic case of children playing with a unlocked and loaded firearm. This is a 7-year-old little girl in Philadelphia. This is making headlines. 7 years old, and she has died after she was shot in Philadelphia. It happened at the family's home, 3800 block of I Street in the city's Juniata Park neighborhood. So officers finding this little girl suffering from the gunshot wound to her face. They rushed her to St. Christopher's Hospital for Children, and those wonderful doctors and nurses and medical professionals could not save this little girl. And so it serves as a reminder, because this does look like a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old playing with a firearm. The firearm went off, killing her eventually. The child's family, obviously grieving and devastated. They were questioned by homicide detectives. We have two adults in custody right now. They are facing some sort of charges, which are pending amidst this tragic situation. So the question is, you know, why did these children have access to the firearm? I don't have information. It may have been a legally licensed firearm. That may not be the issue here. We're looking, you know, the police looking into all of that, but charges are pending, but nothing could bring back this child or change the grief that this family will suffer from throughout their lives. And so it serves as a tragic reminder, according to police, make sure that your firearm is unloaded and locked up where children do not have access.
Yeah. I just have to imagine that most people that go about it the right way, from registration to, you know, getting all the documentation to going to a range to being adequately trained, you know, how to use these things. I think most people typically go about the safety aspect the right way. My guess is that it's usually people that have the gun illegally that are just, you know, leaving it on a coffee table or on a nightstand or in a drawer or, you know, in the side of your truck, you know, on the little by the door. That's where these accidents happen, right? That's the way I would think it would be. Because I've seen many people that are hunters. My sister's husband has got a bazillion firearms. And I'm telling you, you couldn't even find the guns in his house. He's got them hidden, locked up, safety, secure. I mean, they're like behind walls. It's unbelievable.
My grandpa, United States Marine, that gun rack was right behind his chair. Nobody touched grandpa's. Like, you know, yeah. they were, I don't know. They were probably unlocked and loaded. Didn't matter. Nobody would have touched. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Nobody was going to touch Grandpa's guns.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I think my grandfather, my mm-hmm. mom's father, actually had some sort of like a rifle or a shotgun yep. Up on the right on the wall, and it was in a little slot, and it was just laying there, and it was almost like a wall decoration. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's how I think times have changed.
Sure.
It's the way we. You know what I mean? If you're from a certain culture and the way that you were raised, there's no way you would ever consider touching that thing.
That's right.
So, again, lock it up. A big story that's making national news, and that is that Elon Musk, his case, headed now back to court. And this is a case that has gone back and forth with the Pennsylvania challenge of Elon Musk's $1 million a day voter sweepstakes, as they're calling it. So it moves back here to a state court. And so the legal fight over Musk's, you know, situation there, it's back in state court in Pennsylvania. And so at first he won the victory. We told you, just if you're keeping score, this started with Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner. He had sued Musk. He wants to shut down the giveaways and put this in state court. They were, the Musk attorneys were trying to say that under the, one of the arguments was this law of diversity, because Musk is from Texas. So they were trying to kick it up to a federal court and say it belongs in federal court. Now it has been put back to state court. The judge scheduled a hearing for 10 o'clock this morning, Monday morning. And so we don't know if Musk will attend in person. We know he did not last week, but Krasner's attorneys will be there. Obviously, they're arguing that Musk should be forced to appear in court. Krasner wants Musk in court, in person.
It's amazing. Krasner never takes anybody to court, yet he wants Elon in there for a pound of flesh. It's just outrageous. You know, it'd be one thing if you were a district attorney that was a kick-ass and take-names DA yep, that just agreed. Prosecutes everybody under the sun.
Yep.
But this dude, you know, I mean, the battles that he decides to pick and mm-hmm. fight versus what he just omits
yep.
politically, it's disgraceful.
Our children are being killed on the streets in Philadelphia, and he's worried about Elon Musk.
Yeah,
it's giving away
money.
Disgraceful. By the way, kudos to Thomas for suggesting I combine these two clips.
Kamala did what Kamala always does. She just put her head down and she went to work.
That huck too and spit on that thing.
Right in the middle of the news.
I don't know. Her news was too depressing.
Don't get in there and just give this one of these back to the side of the back of the head. It was.
I was fulfilling a listener's request.
Dawn and I trying to keep this show on the up and up, out of the gutter. Guy in the middle just keeps dragging it down.
Sorry.
He's right between us, and you just see what he does?
Sorry.
He
loves the needle.
Musk owns Tesla, SpaceX, and X. This is CBS News writes, Musk has gone all in on Trump this election, saying he thinks civilization is at stake. And so Musk is, his attorneys are fighting this, but Krasner accusing Musk, as well as Musk's PAC, in the lawsuit of running, you know, Krasner saying that they're running a dubious lottery mm-hmm. in the tense run-up to Tuesday's yeah. election.
I just asked CBS News, who cares if Elon's all in on Trump? Mark Cuban's all in on Kamala Harris. I don't see you getting all bent out of shape over that. You have your right to be all in on whoever you want to be all in on.
Musk, his America PAC, has given away 13 checks of $1 million since the first one in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, October the 19th. So other winners came from battleground states. These are all battleground states that you can apply. So that's what I was teasing. Dan Borowski was like, not New Jersey. So it's Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Those are the only states that you can enter in the sweepstakes, sign the petition.
Mm. Are we eligible as Talk Radio 1210 WPHD employees, or is that kind of...
Of course we're eligible. I signed up.
Did you really?
Sure. I went right to it.
Of course you did.
You still can.
Of course you did.
Why wouldn't you want a million?
The odds.
What's the difference between this and like any other sweepstakes, any other radio stations? Not ours.
Or
radio stations do it all the time.
Or any other lottery, right? By the way, I found that yesterday.
No, you don't have to enter money for this.
No,
there's
I know.
No cost.
I know. It's free, yeah.
So you just enter in, you sign a petition, all you do is say, yeah, I support the First and Second Amendments.
God, I would love to win something like that.
I know, $1 million.
Yeah, my local Bluebell Giant just gave away a $1 million lottery ticket a few days ago. Like, I've been in that store for 2 years, twice a week. God, I should have played.
And you didn't?
No, of course not. Yeah, somebody won like $3 million.
That's awesome.
And I got to find out where that guy lives.
So we'll have, you know, Trump and Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania during their last, they're calling it the, you know, closing arguments. But the big one for as far as traffic alerts for you is that they're calling it a star-studded event.
Ah, yes.
This evening, star-studded, yeah. Greg Stocker. Yeah. Will you be there at the art museum?
No. I will not.
You see Oprah?
Yeah, okay, good.
Oprah. No?
Yeah.
Oprah.
You want to see Oprah?
40 years of Oprah.
Lady Gaga?
Oh, God.
No interest.
By the way, where's Beyonce?
She's in Houston, Texas. Why?
Hey, Don, she gave her 4-minute speech on abortion.
Did she sing?
She's a lot like Taylor. She's fulfilled her obligations.
It's funny how Taylor Swift and Beyonce, they're not here.
No.
The best line in the morning so far was Nick Hale saying, she's done her part. She put out an Instagram post a couple months ago.
That's right. That's right.
She's like, yeah, I gave you, you know, a little favor here.
She's done her civic duties.
Favor?
Yeah.
Keep your mind out of the gutter, Don.
Yeah.
It's my job to put it.
Stocker's job to bring this show down.
Yeah, I know. It's a sin. I know. I'm sorry.
But on a serious note, you are anywhere near the Philadelphia Art Museum, understand that Aikens Oval has been shut down since Friday. This affects West River Drive. It's going to affect Kelly Drive. And so a lot of these, you know, the Vine Street Expressway, I think westbound, a lot of those exits. So just be aware of that over the next 24 hours. It certainly will impact traffic. So heads up on that one. Philadelphia Eagles, thank you so much, Mr. Barkley, Mr. Dean, for making sure we got her done. I always feel bad for that Jets owner. The Jets had to actually come out as, you know, we won. Eagles won 28-23.
Mm-hmm.
These guys I'm broadcasting with are saying it was like, what? They got lucky, basically.
Who got lucky?
That we got lucky.
I mean, you did.
Is that what you're saying?
the Jets are saying this?
No. I always feel bad for the Jets owner and the Jets.
Hell with the Jets. The hell with
Aren't
Phil.
They the ones that gave up? Who gave up?
You're talking about the Giants.
The Giants.
Yeah, well, they both stink. So
I get those New Jersey teams confused.
They're going to merge.
Sorry.
They should just merge together.
Yeah, because they both stink.
Those New Jersey teams. Maybe they should come together.
That's a great idea.
Just merge them together.
Yeah.
We need consolidation.
Take the best players
Phil
from
Omquist
both.
Phil is going to come and murder me right now.
Too many teams, too many games, too many networks. Just shut it down.
I always love so hard not to say Giants, so I always feel they had to make a statement. They had to come out and say, no, we're not going to fire the coach or the, you know, for letting Saquon go.
Right.
If Greg Stocker ever comes out and says, no, Dawn's not fired. I'm not fired. Like, you know, you're totally fired.
Yeah. Dawn is not fired.
That's right.
But if he came out and said, like, ways. I know, we're off the hook.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Did you guys see Barkley yesterday with that backwards, butt hurdle?
Yeah, it's
like,
great.
It
was great.
That was like an Olympic feet.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That is so good, man.
By the way, wow. I would have hit my 4-leg same game parlay if AJ Brown didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I followed you on that Sunday morning.
I know. I was close.
Yeah,
was close.
You were.
It was rigged.
It was rigged. But three of four is not good enough. You needed to sweep all four.
This is how I'm supposed to do it, right? It was stolen from me, right?
It was.
That's how I'm supposed to do this.
It was.
Okay. I'm just
what about Penn State? Was it stolen from them?
No, you know what? James Franklin should be fired as well. And I know we air the
Penn
State games.
He's too good of a recruiter.
But he's a great recruiter, and he's an awful game day coach. That guy can't beat anybody competent.
Yep.
What a rube.
Yep.
Well, he's not. They should just do like Eagles do and delegate.
By the way, we love
offense.
Penn State.
No, we do love
just,
Penn State.
That's just an exhibit.
We're just crushed.
You know, that guy's being paid $8 million a year. He can't beat Ohio State once.
Didn't he recruit Saquon? He knows talent.
Oh, yeah.
So he's an amazing recruiter.
Yes.
But they've got enough money. So just delegate out to your offensive coach, your defense. Get all the coaches, is what Greg Stocker wishes that he could do that. Like, delegate a little bit instead of doing all the jobs himself.
Right. By the way, it's just watch that Penn State team. They always they always look like they're stuck in mud.
20-13, Ohio State won.
Yeah. I had Ohio State -3.5. Easiest bet of the year.
All I know is tomorrow night for election night, Matt DeSantis and Dan Borowski better step up and EP the hell out of those 5 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is. Thank you very much.
Either one of those guys, Penn Staters?
Speaking of delegation.
Okay.
Oof.
Did they go to Penn State? No, yeah. DeSantis is a Harvard guy.
He's a Harvard guy.
That's right. Yeah, Harvard for radio.
Dan went to the same school I did. We just grew up in radio.
Yeah. Well, some of us go to community college for radio, and others go to Ivy League. Yeah.
So your forecast, Election Day forecast, looks lovely. So as we're looking at today, it looks like 65 degrees. I've lost count of how many days without rain. We need the rain still, but we're not going to get rain today, tomorrow, or anytime soon. So 65 is your high today with the sun peeking out, partly sunny, partly cloudy. And then tomorrow, we're looking at 75 degrees for the Election Day forecast, 75, partly to mostly sunny. Wednesday, we pop up to 79 degrees and partly sunny skies. Thursday, dropping back to 70, but we're still looking at a stretch. I am looking at a 10-day forecast with no measurable rain.
Oh, my
rain.
God.
And what? It does. I don't
we need
think,
rain.
Yeah, we do.
The lowest temp I think I saw for 10 days was like 58, maybe 60. We're not getting any cold weather before Thanksgiving, it seems. And I'm all for that. I love it.
Yeah, well, we need the rain. We do need the rain.
We need the rain badly.
Yeah. Stalker's lawn looks awful.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So you're not watering?
Of course I'm watering. Oh. How dare you? I was out there Saturday watering. Sprinkler's going Friday yep. night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then it gets like, it was like 37 degrees when I woke up this morning.
Yeah.
Frost. So
it's 42 right now, but it feels like 38. It's been breezy.
By the way, how are you guys doing with the clock changing?
Fine.
Yeah.
I had no issue with it.
I was up at 3 a.m. this morning instead of 4.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I was just... My body, man, is used to 4 o'clock. I was like, yeah. Nope, time to get up.
Yeah. See, I only have an issue when I look out tonight at 5:15 out my window and it's dark.
I know, that stunk last night.
I got to tell you guys, for this job, though, it's great because it's later during the day and I don't feel so bad going to bed at 8:30.
Yeah, yeah. You know especially I mean? If you work morning drive.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yep.
That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
We are sponsored this morning by Malvern Retreat House. Visit Malvern Retreat House, the nation's largest Catholic retreat house located in Chester County. Malvern Retreat House, hosting men's and women's retreats, couples retreats, spiritual direction, recovery retreats, and more. Retreat from the noise and hear God's voice at malvernretreat.com. Thank you, Malvern Retreat House, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live, 7 a.m. edition.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. The cut sheet coming up in just about 20 or 25 minutes. But up next, before we get there, two stories to get to. Peanut the Squirrel and also a column in The Atlantic written by Joe Alberta.
You've done pissed me off, Joe.
Yeah, you've done pissed me off, Joe. Now we got to talk about your ridiculous story. And we'll get to that coming up next here on Kale & Company.
You know, they call me the bubble wrap mom. I'm always concerned about safety and privacy, and I will say it goes way beyond being a protective parent because I think about protecting privacy and all those data profiles. And here's the thing with DuckDuckGo, and I subscribe now to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. Why? Because it keeps my searches private and out of those data profiles, the government, other legal requests. And so that's why you need to subscribe to this specialty service. You know, I think the world of DuckDuckGo, I started talking about them years ago. I was surprised to find out they actually started out as a local company in our region and they don't track you at all. And that's regardless of what browsing mode you are in. So every time you search on DuckDuckGo, it's as if you've never been there before. I love that. And so this is why I subscribe to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. It's a 3-in-1 privacy subscription, okay? It's a subscription service. It helps protect your personal info from being exploited by those hackers, the scammers, the privacy invasive companies that we learned about. And it's from DuckDuckGo, so you know it's legit. That's why I trust it. With Privacy Pro, they have the VPN, okay? That secures your Wi-Fi connection. And I was getting my hair done over the weekend, and I look, and you know how it goes? This connection is not secure. And you think, meh, who could look at it? I'm not going to deal with that. Because why? I have DuckDuckGo's VPN, which has me secure anytime, anywhere. Number two, identity theft restoration. If your identity gets stolen, and this has happened to me in the past, which is why I treasure DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro. And even if your identity theft gets stolen, they're going to help you restore it at DuckDuckGo. Number three, personal information removal. This is important to me, okay? If you've ever searched your name, and I want you to try this, search your name online and then you notice how many sites are actually selling your info about you, ew. Privacy Pro is going to help you remove your personal info from those super creepy sites, and so they can't share it, they can't sell it. That's awesome. Get all this for just $9.99 a month. As my listener, if you go to duckduckgo.com/1210, you're going to get an exclusive 7-day free trial on us. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Do this to protect your privacy, your security. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
And I got the name wrong. It was not Joe Alberta. It was Tim Alberta. But being able to play the new Joe Biden drop.
You done pissed me off, Joe.
Made it all worthwhile. So people were tweeting at me and sending me this story via DM over the weekend. And they're like, oh, you got to talk about this. This is ridiculous. So The Atlantic wrote a story with the headline, Inside the Ruthless, Restless Final Day, or Days, I should say, of Donald Trump's campaign. It's very, very long. I will not bore you with all 14 pages of this story. But Axios wrote up a kind of a synopsis, a cliff note version of it, where they talk about how the Trump campaign is divided and chaotic, which is very interesting because they write that Alberta depicts a campaign at war with itself and a candidate who might just throw away the White House through repeated acts of self-sabotage. And Trump made some comments over the weekend about shooting through the media. I'm paraphrasing here. He also questioned the Greek ethnicity of Giannis Antetokounmpo for the Milwaukee Bucks when he was doing a Wisconsin rally. And do I think these things impact the election? No. But it just gives the mainstream media more fodder and more clickbait and more headlines to fill up the hours of their day. But I just want to bring up this story in The Atlantic because we've talked about some of the people that Trump has surrounded himself with. And I found it fascinating because this story alleges that during the final moments of Joe Biden before he dropped out of the race, Trump told his aides that he planned to start calling his opponent a R word. I can't say the word on the radio, but it basically means dummy or stupid. You can figure out what word. It's six letters long. And he was advised against doing that. The aides go on to say that they pleaded with Trump not to say this publicly, which, of course, we know he has not said publicly. But I find it fascinating that when we talk about campaigns and the internal wars that are waged within a campaign, where you have a lot of alpha males, you have a lot of backstabbing, when things are great, everybody's singing Kumbaya, the moment the Titanic's about to sink, everybody starts planning for their next political and professional venture. It's interesting that this would come out this late in the campaign from The Atlantic, 4 days away from an election. This was written on November 2nd. Yet it's very, very seldomly ever reported, unless you listen to this show, this station, Fox News, or X, that Kamala Harris had a 92% turnover rate with her staff. And I look, there are grifters and trolls on both sides. You have the Harry Sissons of the world on the Democrat side. You have this gal from New Jersey. You might have seen her on social media. She goes by JoJo from Jersey. And the Republicans have their own, right? You've got guys that either directly, officially work with the campaign or are paid grifters or have no affiliation, just do it because they have no life and they're bored out of their mind. But I find it interesting the difference in media coverage of these trolls and these grifters. Now, the one thing they talk about in this Atlantic article, which I do think is valid, is who Trump has surrounded himself with this time. Alex Brusewitz is a guy who actually follows me, and I've conversed with him from time to time on some polling numbers and stuff, but he can be a bit of a troll, especially in person. Laura Loomer, we've talked about her, and we've also talked about Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne Conway helped run a successful campaign in 2016. We've talked about Corey Lewandowski being back in the fold. And you look at some of his strategists and advisors this time around, Chris LaCavita and some others that, you know, are on his staff. And it's interesting when we talk about divide and chaos. And I would actually argue, because Dawn has said in the past many times, Democrats might be a mess, but they get it together at the last moment. I think that is not true this time around. In fact, I mean, it's been so bad that Democrats staged a coup. So we can sit here and point out the internal gripes and the issues in the Trump campaign, but let's highlight again what has happened since basically the 4th of July. You had a disastrous debate. You had a coup that was staged. You had Pelosi and all the power players in the Democrat Party forcing Joe out. They subvert democracy. They install a candidate who just has memorized the script, a lady that has never received a vote 4 or 5 years ago when she ran the first time around. And by the way, apparently, according to the small bit of reporting that is out there, she is also a major pain in the butt to deal with. Again, a 92 or 93% turnover rate. Now, I've made it clear that I don't think these grifters are beneficial for Trump. And you might sit there and say, oh, well, Nick Laura Loomer accurately reported this, or this person accurately says that. I get it. They get some things right from time to time. But to me, it's, okay, what do they provide versus what do they cost you? You are all, and this is the way I always try to look at it. Republicans and Trump are working at a major disadvantage. The media is against you. All of the major institutions in this country are against you. Social media has you outnumbered 7-1, right? You look at all, so you don't need any of these self-inflicted wounds. You don't need a poor vetting process. You don't need to surround yourself with somebody that could cost you when you already are up against it. That's the way I always look at it. It's not a personal attack against any of these, you know, the Benny Johnsons of the world, the Laura Loomers. I'm a capitalist. If they're making great money, but just remember, they, for every time they get something right, they get a lot of things wrong. And I don't want to, my whole thing is, I don't want to give the mainstream media any freebies. I don't want to give them a gift. Well, this was shared and it was a deep fake. So to me, it works against Trump's bottom line. I like the Kellyanne Conways of the world. I know there was a rift between her and Trump or what. I don't care. She provided results and got a win. Those are the people that I want to surround myself with the campaign. And trust me, I get the social media aspect. I understand where we are in 2024. You do need your grifters and your trolls. But just remember, it's not apples to apples. The Democrats put out their crap, but they have far more power behind them with the machine than we do. So we don't get the mulligans and the breakfast balls and the second tee shot like they do. So you have to make it count. That's what I wanted to talk about with that story. And again, I don't even know if it's true. I mean, again, I always look at timing, right? There's also this ridiculous Epstein audio that's apparently out there that Epstein claims that Trump and it were like this for 10 years. Is that artificial intelligence? Why is that coming out now? That if this tape is as old as people are claiming it is, why is this coming out on November 3rd? Why didn't this come out on October 3rd? Why didn't this come out 2 summers ago? Why didn't this come out after the first arraignment or the first indictment? So again, to me, the timing all of this is fascinating, and I see through a lot of the crap, but I know a lot of people were talking about that story over the weekend. Don, I'm not sure if you saw it. It was from The Atlantic. I don't know who Tim Alberta is. Find it interesting that he would have sources inside the Trump campaign, but again, you know, what's the MO of whoever potentially is leaking this type of stuff? Is this, again, another thing where Trump surrounds himself with somebody that can't be trusted, that's not loyal? I just wanted to pass that story because a lot of people were sending it to me in DMs yesterday. Like, you got to talk about this. You got to talk about this. So it's a long story. I'm not sure if you saw it.
No, The Atlantic, I think you have to look at their, I always have to look at their credibility. I mean, they've brought us some stories that are obviously skewed. So you have to read it with in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I will say, you know, we talk about Nate Silver all the time. I think that his prediction yesterday saying that even though had given Trump a slight edge, he's saying it's a quote pure toss-up.
Uh-huh.
And so I just think, as far as The Atlantic, I always, you know, read them. I just think whatever they're doing, there's some ulterior motive behind it, and so they're just frustrating to me because they pretend like they have sources, they pretend like they're a legit organization. I don't think they are.
Yeah, and it's sad that journalism actually can resort to this, because when you're trained as a journalist, and Dawn, you would know, I mean, you don't sit there and run with these fake stories. You don't concoct stuff for the sake of publishing an article. You know, sourcing matters and credibility matters, and this day and age, it's we have one of these well, you know, basically one of two outlets now where everything is either far left or everything is far right. And if you're in one of those camps, you believe it. If you're not in that camp, you don't believe it. And we're down to relegated really to just a few independent citizen journalists, you know, the Schellenbergers, the Barry Weisses of the world, Catherine Herridge, who left CBS. You know, so there's, you know, certain people you can trust and a lot of other things that you have to always take with a grain of salt. Just to wrap this up, and this was interesting. I'm sitting there Saturday and I'm watching college football and I'm looking at my phone and checking some scores and I'm looking on social media, and this Peanut the Squirrel story went absolutely nuts. And I only saw mostly conservatives and social media influencers that are Republicans tweeting about this. And I thought maybe there was a political backdrop to this story. And if there is, I don't know what it is other than the fact that maybe the state of New York, in some people's eyes, acted out of turn. I've got the story in front of me courtesy of the Associated Press, so take that for what it's worth. We've seen the slant the AP has in the last year or so. But the headline is, man who took in Peanut the Squirrel says it's surreal that officials euthanized his pet. So if you don't know the backstory, this individual, Mark Longo, who lives in the state of New York, apparently saw a squirrel 7 years ago where the parent squirrel got hit and killed in an accident, and he took in the baby squirrel. Now, he also has apparently other wild animals that I think include a raccoon and something. And he's apparently like a social media person who posts a lot of the videos, and like he's domesticated a squirrel, and the squirrel like sits on his countertop and eats breakfast with him. Yeah, it's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. If you've ever seen any of the clips of this, yeah,
damnedest is the word.
It's unbelievable. Now, I personally would have no interest in taking a squirrel in, much less a cat. You know, if there was a dog, you know, I'd make sure it was taken care of, you know, the veterinarian, the ambulance, the hospital, whatever. But all of a sudden, the state of New York, according to Mark Longo, all of a sudden, 10 state employees show up at his house from the Department of Environmental Conservation, and they euthanized the animal in his house. The DEC and Chemung County Health Department said Friday that the squirrel and the raccoon had to be put down so they could be tested for rabies after Peanut the Squirrel apparently bit someone involved in the investigation. I don't know if you... Did you guys see this story over the weekend?
Yeah.
I don't understand. So, I mean, are you a little confused as to why you would take a squirrel in? Are you more confused as to why the state would show up in like a raid-like setting to investigate this guy? Is this against the law? Is this a violation of privacy? What is this?
I think what I took from this is all the people coming in and being like, government overreach! It's a squirrel. Like, I get it. Okay.
I think that's the point. Is it government overreach?
Sure it is. But those little rats that run in front of our cars that you see dead on the side of the road.
Oh, I get it.
This time of year, I mean, that's what we're...
I'd have no interest in doing that. But I just interesting that you see when you post things on social media and then it gets back to the government always wants to overstep their bounds and get involved. And me personally, again, I would not have any wild animal in my house. I already have wild animals. They're called kids. All right. They're already carrying enough diseases from school. Well, I'm starting to get a cold. My ears clogged up. But this is interesting because it's New York, and I think a lot of people were talking about the lawlessness specifically in New York City, and then they see a story like this, and they're like, well, wait a minute. You don't do anything with crime. You don't prosecute criminals. We've got all this ridiculous nonsense going on in the criminal justice system. By the way, that Daniel Penny case is going on right now. That's back in the news. We got to pay attention to that. But I just thought that story was interesting because it does feel like government overreach. But then again, I'm not the kind of guy that puts Alvin and the Chipmunks on my kitchen table and has a bowl of Raisin Bran. Just figured I'd pass that along.
Yeah, so the family thinks that it's a case of jealousy, and they had a lot of acreage. I don't know if there's anything politically involved here.
Well, it was definitely you're right. It was definitely a rural area in the state of New York. It's not the city.
So these individuals who, first of all, I would never, I'm just saying, wild animals like a squirrel, a raccoon, whatever, a deer, don't make them a pet because you're making them people friendly.
Mm-hmm.
right? They're going to go up to somebody. So that never ends well. But in this case, it is curious to me that they were, you know, they have an animal sanctuary that the government would come in, seize the animals, and then euthanize them. As an animal lover, I'm just saying overall, that to me is suspicious. Yeah. And I think that, and I know it will be investigated.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's bizarre to me. But these are wild animals, and it's why I have a neighbor allegedly who feeds the dog food to the little raccoons.
Oh, no.
And to the fox.
Oh.
And it's never a good idea because and the other piece of it, you mess up, like usually people aren't used to seeing, especially a raccoon, it's a nocturnal animal.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden you see them dayside and you might think, oh, they're rabid.
Yep.
Just don't do it.
Yeah. Mitch sends us a tweet. He says, state law requires that people get a license if they wish to own a wild animal. My guess is he was not properly certified. Thank you very much.
So,
how people know that? I have no idea.
And with everything going on in New York and all the you know what I mean? Like, the authorities are more worried about euthanizing a freaking, you know, raccoon and a squirrel.
Yeah.
And they just had a 5-year-old little girl raped by an illegal guy.
Kathy Hochul.
Just last week.
Yeah, good old Kathy.
They weren't worried about the squirrel, though. The squirrel might be rabid.
Jesus. All right, coming up next, let's get to a Monday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Always my favorite edition because there's 72 hours worth of people saying a whole bunch of stuff that will make your head explode. It's a great, it's like a buffet.
Buffet.
You pick and choose what you want on a Monday.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to get through it all.
We'll try. Back after this, Kaylee Company.
Yeah, we had such a great get-together on Friday night with so many of our friends, like a reunion with so many of my friends from the last Italy trip that we took, and so many people have already signed up, so we're having, like, Italy take two. This one to the Italian Riviera, this is a gastronomical event that only conservative tours can deliver. I hope you join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours, the best tour operator, hands down, best tour operator in all of Italy, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So this time around, we're going to go to Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and yes, the brilliant Cinque Terre. $53.78, and yes, that includes your airfare, $53.78. Here's the thing, we've become lifelong friends. And it was so amazing to get together at Mary and Rick's. Mary actually made this huge poster of this time around, the Italian Riviera. The pictures we shared, they put together a montage of the pictures, and we just really relished in the positive energy of all of those memories we made together, and not just as a group, but obviously, you know, I think of Chris and Louise had celebrated their wedding anniversary. It's really a celebration of our values, of our lives. It was so much fun. I can't even tell you. Dining events at wineries in Tuscany. And yes, we will do a toast to Romina and Lorenzo. We will visit an authentic farm to see how Parmesan cheese is crafted by hand. Just call toll-free 888-733-9494. You can go to conservativetours.com. This is already filling up because we have so many returns, right? Everybody wants to go again. We can't wait. Hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We'll see it in person. Florence, Michelangelo's Florence, Milan. And we will conclude this incredible trip on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring. It's going to be awesome in Italy. Next spring in Italy. See you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Monday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo, where they have ample inventory and brand new and beautiful pre-owned Volvos. Enjoy the luxury experience you deserve. They always go the extra mile for their customers because the relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. All right, let's start with the Kamala Harris guest surprise cameo on the in the SNL cold open. So, apparently, they didn't know until, like, the very last minute if she was going to be able to make it or not. So, this was a... this was, like, a... She gets off the, you know, elevator and they push her right in.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
Which is interesting because everything about her is rehearsed and scripted.
Yeah. That's her. That's their story. Oh, it's just last minute. Popped by. You believe that?
Well, I don't think it was last minute that she popped by. I think that they didn't know if she was going to be able to make it or not. I think that's what they're saying.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Pop over by the vice president's security.
Cut five, Phil, go.
Gosh, I wish I could talk to someone who's been in my shoes.
Maya,
you know?
Rudolph.
A black South Asian woman running for president, preferably from the Bay Area.
I gotta say, stop it for a second.
Okay.
I gotta say, if they're gonna do a bit with Kamala Harris, the mirror bit has been done a bajillion times.
Well, it's the story I have in front of me from the New York Post that the surprise appearance on SNL is ripping off Trump's 2015 Fallon skit and as well as Hillary Clinton from 16 years ago.
It is, first of all, it's not, yes, Trump did this in 15, but Jimmy Fallon did it with Mick Jagger in 2001. This has been done a million times.
Okay.
So it's just, it's like when you don't know what else to do with a candidate, you do the mirror skit, you know, where they're looking at each other in the mirror.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that this was last minute, because I have heard that Lorne Michaels absolutely hates this sketch.
Oh, he does.
Because it's been done to death.
So, but he's the executive producer, right?
Yeah.
If he hates it, why doesn't he nix it?
I don't know.
It's like a parakeet looking at itself in the mirror.
Right. Right. And by the way, they look up. It's really, like, you give Maya Rudolph credit. I mean, I think Esty does a better impersonation, but the look, I mean, she's like a doppelganger,
it.
Right?
True.
All right, Phil, keep going, my friend. Try to stop this as much as we can so we don't get flagged.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. It is nice to see you, Kamala.
It is nice to see you, Kamala. And I'm just here to remind you, you got this. Because you can do something your opponent cannot do. You can open doors.
I see what you did there, like to a garbage truck, right?
I think she did a laugh to her, right? I mean, I don't know.
No, Esty does the better laugh, for sure.
Quite frankly, I'm amazed that they took the risk of a famous stepmother looking in the mirror on the wall. I think that was a risk, but I guess they counted on the media not going there of the evil, you know what I mean, looking mm-hmm. in the mirror
yep.
thing. So if she were a Republican, that's absolutely where they would go. They do the Snow White, wicked stepmother thing.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do it because the media is, you know what I mean? They won't do any of those analogies that they could go with. If she were a Republican, that's where they would go.
This apparently caused a big ruckus because we were told, and we actually heard about a month ago, that NBC, SNL said that they would not have either candidate on Saturday Night Live. I've got a story here from The Hill that says the FCC commissioner claims that Kamala Harris on SNL violates the equal time rule. A federal communications commissioner has claimed that Vice President Kamala Harris violated the rule. This is a clear and blatant effort to evade the FCC's equal time rule.
That's the same commissioner that's made outlandish comments about this radio company, so I don't put anything that guy has to say with anything.
Okay.
He's supposedly, you know, skews Republican, that he, you know, is questioning this. But
yeah.
That's why Trump got the NASCAR spot to try to equalize, supposedly.
I saw that. So it was NASCAR, and it was also Sunday Night Football on mm-hmm. NBC last night, that they got a 90-second kind of like, well, okay, we gave Kamala this, so we'll give you that. But I didn't happen to see it. Did you see it air? I mean, I went to bed early, so I didn't see the whole game, but I didn't see it, and I certainly don't watch NASCAR, so I didn't see that.
It was the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Vikings-Lions game. Yep.
So I didn't see it either.
Okay.
This whole, like, yes, SNL should have invited Trump on as well, yeah. if they're being fair.
Do you think he goes on, though?
I don't know. I mean, like, they should have at least invited him.
Mm-hmm.
But, and according to them and the Trump campaign, they didn't. So I'm not sure why they didn't. I mean, I guess it's...
You're not sure why?
Well, no, I mean, he's been on before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, why wouldn't he do... You know, because the cold open was actually Trump was the Trump rally and the garbage truck thing.
Yeah.
So they could have done a bit with him there too.
Sure. Has Trump been on since he's been in office? I mean, no. In the last eight years?
No, because he's a danger to democracy.
No, but I'm talking about, like, even in the early days, like even in 2016 when he was running, or when he got elected inauguration, the whole bit 2017 before like, you know, any policies that would have rubbed NBC the wrong way, you know, whatever. Like, I'm assuming he probably hasn't been on since at least 2015. I'm sure somebody can find it. It's probably on YouTube.
I mean, like, how many people possibly saw this Saturday night? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I've watched SNL twice this season because of the election season, but I did not watch it this past week.
I think, to be honest with you guys, I think the whole equal time thing is nonsense anyway. Like, anybody should be able to invite anybody they want on without inviting. I mean, if you want to be fair, you can, you know, but we haven't invited on Kamala Harris, have we?
I always invite everybody. They just will never come.
Yeah, I've extended the invitation. Sure. I've said I'd love to have her sit across from me.
I've invited Bob Casey, Governor Shapiro, but when you are in a network situation like that, there is a rule, and it's the law, that you should at least invite people. And yeah, to your point, if Trump had said no thank you, at least they attempted to give him equal time.
Phil says the last time that Trump was on was November 7th of 2015.
With Jimmy Fallon.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure who it was with.
It was Jimmy Fallon.
I just have the date. Yep.
So they're saying they're trying to mimic what Trump did with Jimmy Fallon back in 2015.
Okay.
But that was when they thought that he was going to lose.
That was when he had like 2% chance.
They gave him no chance. So they thought, oh, he's good for ratings and we'll make fun of him.
Marcus says the over the top audience applause from SNL, The View, and Colbert is vomit inducing.
Nothing. Just letting you guys stew in the non-relevant SNL, but yet all of a sudden.
No, well, that's what I said 2 hours ago. I said, well, wait a minute. We can't have it both ways. We can't say SNL is trash and nobody watches and then cry that Trump wasn't on.
I got you.
But that being said, it's not going to make an impact regardless. Like I said at 6:14 this morning, like. Nobody's voting off of, wow, I saw something on Saturday Night Live the eve before the Saturday before the election.
Let me ask you, I was undecided,
and now I've got my answer.
In all seriousness, though, you don't think that there's people who watch SNL that, like, they're probably the epitome of low information voters, don't you think? Or non-voters?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would guess that there's, you know, a lot of, you know, liberals out there that watch SNL still that vote and, you know, probably can spout off a policy or two. I don't want to, you know, denigrate Democrats and call them garbage, you know, like the Democrats call Trump supporters because, you know.
Yeah.
No, there's definitely low IQ voters. Yeah. I'm not sure. What do you think the demo is that watches SNL these days? Right. I mean, obviously, I think it skews left.
I don't think they're watching it, but I think the moments go viral.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. What I mean? That's for sure. The clips, definitely.
I mean, that's like it with everything.
Right.
I mean, that's... Literally everything you do these days is about the viral moment, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I have to imagine there's at least enough of an audience to still sell advertising, because if they couldn't sell advertising, then the show would be canceled.
So we talked on Friday a lot about the Liz Cheney comment about how the media ran with the fact that Trump called for the execution of Liz Cheney, right?
That's right.
And then we... played the entire clip.
Yeah, you blew your lid.
And showed that it was actually not what he was saying at all. He was actually saying what liberals and anti-war activists have been saying for 50 years, longer, 60 years, that, you know, all of these politicians and sons and relatives of politicians, they're not the ones who fight in the wars.
Mm-hmm.
They're more than happy to send your kids there.
Yep.
but they don't want to go. Ew. They don't want to send their kids there.
Ew.
That's all he was saying. Mm-hmm. And people took that train, you know, with guns on them, because I hate to tell everybody, you know, all the snowflake idiots out there, there are guns in war. Then they took that 20-second soundbite where if you actually let it play, what, 40 seconds later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says it all in full context. Well, that didn't stop the media from running with this story all on Friday. Cut one, Phil, go.
Breaking news. Donald Trump took his violent rhetoric to a new extreme,
violent rhetoric,
suggesting the former Republican congresswoman should be fired upon.
Breaking news. Trump under investigation for saying, quote, war hawk Liz Cheney should be fired upon.
Right now on ABC News Live, he suggested 9 barrels of a firing squad aimed right at her.
Donald Trump declaring before a crowd that Cheney should be put before a firing line.
With the battle over women voters raging, Donald Trump suggests putting Liz Cheney in the firing line.
Now you have this threat against Liz Cheney that Trump is talking about a firing squad.
The Drudge Report. Trump calls for Cheney execution.
He's saying quite explicitly and unambiguously that Liz Cheney should be shot, should be executed by firing squad.
He directly said what he thinks should happen to Liz Cheney just because she disagrees with him.
He basically called for executing Liz Cheney.
Talking about putting Liz Cheney in front of the firing squad.
He actually suggested that Liz Cheney should face a firing squad.
Wow.
Guns being trained on a political opponent.
Guns being trained on a political opponent.
The pearl clutching by these
aimed at Liz Cheney's face.
9 barrels.
9 barrels.
It's the latest escalation.
Using the military to kill a political rival.
He graduated to firing squads and executions.
He really wants to kill with a firing squad.
Squad.
His political opponents.
Sounds like to me he just thought she needed to die.
Trump was suggesting a firing squad.
Evoking images of a firing squad,
so
of an assassination.
This is really
what's your response?
All right. That's really what they're running with, huh?
You know, so it. Trump is in the process of a $10 billion lawsuit against CBS for their deceptive editing practices of that 60 Minutes clip.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is actually far more egregious than anything CBS did or did not do. I mean, if you just let that clip continue for X amount of seconds more, you'll hear exactly what he's talking about. This is on par with, in fact, I would actually take it a step further. This is actually worse than the bloodbath comment. Because the bloodbath comment, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, if I lose, it'll be a bloodbath for the automotive industry. It's not going to be a bloodbath in the streets. That was taken out of context and snipped off before you get to the meat of what he's talking about. And this is just as bad, if not worse. And did I hear Brett Baer in there as well?
Brett Baer was in there. And
Or is that the guy I said last week, Brett Baier?
Yeah. Brett Rabbit.
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, I would sue the hell out of them. I would sue everybody in that clip. On an individual level, because they're all worth a lot of money, and they all make a lot of money. Wolf Blitzer's got $48 billion in his bank account.
I'm just looking at some comments here. EKZ writes, Greg, SNL along with abortion will not determine this election. Well, I do agree with you. SNL will not determine this election.
But every little bit matters. And the media malpractice, that matters too.
I mean, this is worse than a slant. This is worse than bias. I mean, this is blatant lies. I mean, you can't, I don't know, the clip's 40 seconds. You can't say, now, if you want to play something shorter, that's fine. I do that all the time in the Big Take. There might be like a 90-second clip, and I use 37 seconds of it. But I'm not sitting here and saying, if the clip goes further, it will tell you today is Tuesday, and I take it and end it and say today's Monday. Like, that's completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can use portions. I get it, because a lot of people are gas bags and are walking run-on sentences.
It's so frustrating because, like we were saying last week, they went to great lengths to clarify, to help what Biden said about garbage, mm-hmm. about Trump supporters being garbage. And they talked about apostrophes. And well, if you actually listen to it, like they went to great lengths for that. They brought on experts to he didn't actually say this. He was actually talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And with this,
yep.
they took a 20-second clip and just ran with
it. Yep. That's why they're the biggest, most hypocritical people on the planet.
Yeah.
I tell you, man, the mainstream media. They're not your friend.
So there's a new ad that the Democrats just rolled out. This is to get more men to vote for Harris. You remember we played the Julia Roberts ad? Roberts voiced it. It's about nobody knows who you're voting for in the booth. And if your husband's they didn't say this, but if your husband's a MAGA-loving guy, you can vote for whoever you want to and never tell him. They're also targeting men for this now. Phil, can you roll that?
Come on, boys. Let's make America great again. It's your turn, buddy.
Before you cast your vote in this election, think about how it'll impact the people you care about the most.
And he looks at a picture.
Daddy!
Remember, you can vote any way you want, and no one will ever know.
Do your patriotic duty.
You bet I did, brother.
What happens in the booth stays in the booth. Vote Harris Walls.
Paid for by Vote Common Good.
See, I think the opposite is true. I think what they're worried about, what Democrats are worried about, is that a lot of guys, especially the working man, you look at all the union issues and so on and so forth. And I think that they're, you know, especially in the suburbs, but across the country, they're woke wives. They just want to say, yes, honey. Oh, yes, I'm voting your way. Yes, honey. Yes, dear. And then they're going to go in and it's a vote for Trump. And I think it's like opposite land.
Yeah.
That us protest too much, that I think that's what the Democrats fear.
I've got a story here from the Daily Mail, speaking of, you know, who you vote for versus who you tell you vote for. It's their Dear Jane column, and the headline is, "My wife says that she will put me on a sex ban if I vote for Trump." The letter says, this is great. "Dear Jane, my wife and I have been together for 3 years and married for just over one. We have a lot in common, except when it comes to politics. We live in Pennsylvania, so we know plenty of Democrats and Republicans and everything in between. I enjoy having a broad range of friends, regardless of where they fall in the political spectrum. I've always known that my wife is liberal, but it has never really been an issue, mostly because we met soon after the last election. Donald Trump had disappeared, and she was content with the Biden presidency. But I have been an avid Trump supporter since he ran in 2016. When it became clear that he would be the Republican nominee this time around, the political differences between us started to show. Dear Jane, my wife says she will not sleep with me if I vote for Trump."
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, what's a man to do here? Hey, this is a tough spot, right? I'm just asking. Throw it out to the people out here. You know, we got a lot of divided households. I'm sure there are people listening with a Republican husband and a liberal wife, or maybe the other way. Maybe a Republican female that's married to a liberal, Justin Trudeau, Dougie Dorito type guy. You know, that happens.
Don't ask, don't tell.
What happens when the other partner holds out in the bedroom over your voting preferences? What do you do? File divorce, go to the internet. I mean, swipe left.
By the way, Jimmy Matthews, you know I love you, buddy. But like, I don't apologize for anybody. I call balls and strikes. But what the media did to Trump on Friday was egregious. It was. Okay. So John Fetterman was all over the place this weekend. He started off on Friday on Joe Rogan's podcast. By the way, it's painful to listen to. I hate to say it, but like, it's painful to listen to because he can't follow, and you know, like, he has an iPad there that translates what it's just it's painful to listen to. That's why I only did 2 hours with him instead of three.
Still two more than Kamala did.
But it's kind of amazing to me that Fetterman, you know, who is obviously a very progressive liberal Democrat, after a stroke, still makes more sense and is more consistent than many of his fellow Democrat colleagues.
Yeah, you're right.
His support of Israel. I mean, he has remained consistent, say what you want, with regard to this, and working with people like his fellow Senator Katie Britt on important issues. He's somebody who makes sense and breaks through because of his consistency.
Yep.
So in this, even Joe Rogan tweeted it out that he thought that this was the most interesting part of the interview that he did with Fetterman, where It looks to me like Fetterman appears to admit that Biden and Harris' refusal to close the border is meant to rig future elections.
Oh, geez, you think?
Cut six, Phil. Go.
I think it's really, like, it's important that we have to have an honest conversation.
But doesn't that seem logical, though? If you have a significant number of people that are being moved into swing states that have come across the border illegally, and then you've provided them with all these services, you provided them with food stamps, EBT, you've provided them with housing, you could, if you gave those people amnesty and allowed those people to vote, and it was very organized, you're talking about 75,000 votes over a few counties that switched everything over to the Republicans. You could see how you import 10 million people over the course of 4 years illegally and then move a significant number of them to swing states and then provide them with all these services and then give them a path to citizenship. You could essentially rig those states.
Undeniably, immigration is changing our nation. I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time in Texas, but it's very clear that immigration has remade Texas, and I think it's generally it's for a good.
Yeah, I mean, I've given you the numbers. It was 2 or 3 weeks ago on this show. Illegal immigration since 2021 in swing states like North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, on up through, you know, the Great Lakes states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin have seen 200, 300, and even 400% increases in population with illegal immigrants in those states. Because if they can flip, and that's 10, 12, 15 million people.
Yep.
Now, forget the swing states for a moment. What about the ones that are being put in Texas or in Florida? Because if they ever flip Texas or Florida, it's also ballgame. So it could be ballgame in one of two ways. Rigging them with the swing states. And I hate the word rigging because it makes you act like you're crazy. But what they're doing, and what's the lady? I always forget her name. Sean Farish always remembers her name. The lady from New York. She's like, I need people in my district for redistricting purposes. They've said the quiet part out loud.
Fetterman was also on State of the Union on CNN with Dana Bash. And he admits that there is an issue with Dems connecting with voters in Pennsylvania. Cut two, Phil. Go.
Thank you so much for being here, sir. So tomorrow, Kamala Harris will spend the last full day of the campaign only in Pennsylvania. She's going to be in Allentown, in Pittsburgh, and in Philadelphia. There is 48 hours left in this race. Now, back in 2016, when Trump won Pennsylvania, you said your party wasn't connecting with voters enough that it needs. What are you seeing now? Are you seeing any of the same warning signs in 2024?
No, there's nothing new here. You know, I've said the same thing in 2016. I've said that it's going to be really close. I mean, there's an issue there. And I said that it's going to be very close in 2020. And of course it was. And I've been saying this, whether it was Biden or then became Harris, I said it's going to be very close. And Trump definitely has a connection with voters here in Pennsylvania. And that's why it's going to be close. But there's a lot of tremendous amount of energy for Harris as well, too. Yesterday, I was in Erie, and of course, with President Clinton, and I was in Butler County as well, too. So, I mean, the energy is really strong. I just met a whole bus of volunteers from Rochester, New York, and they're coming. They're showing up, and they're just going to knock on. They're going to knock on doors, you know, for Harris as well, too. So it's undeniable that there's strong energy on both sides. It's going to be close, and I'm not surprised to hear that Harris is going to spend a lot more time in Pennsylvania before the election, because we all understand Pennsylvania is going to pick the president.
By the way, they said in the swing states, I think in the either three or seven, the Harris campaign had 90,000 volunteers knock on doors over the weekend.
Yeah, I've seen them in my neighborhood.
Their ground game is insane.
See, I'll comment on this clip, but if you could pull up Greg the NBCNews.com, I'd like to see what those swing state early voting numbers and trends are. But no, to comment on that, I do think it's about the energy level in Pennsylvania, and when you look at it, I look at it from two different vantage points. What's the enthusiasm like for Donald Trump, specifically in between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, with working class, high school graduate, mucker, grinder type, real blue collar men? right? Like the construction guys, the garbage men, things like that. Versus what's the enthusiasm in this liberal area suburbs on the fringe of Philadelphia, on the outskirts of Pittsburgh with females? I think if you can answer those two questions, therein lies the answer to how Pennsylvania plays out. That would be my guess.
So, all right, let's look at just, I'm going to go nationally here. So it looks like 76 million people, 76 and change, 76 million people have already voted by mail-in or early in-person voting. These are the votes cast nationally. 41% Democrat, 39% Republican, 20% other. Let's look at the age. This is just nationally. 40% are 65 and over. 27% are 50 to 64, so that's 67% of people who have voted already are 50 and over. 13% are 40 to 49, 11% 30 to 39, and 9% 18 to 29. If you look at the gender gap, 53-44 women.
Yeah, it's been about, that's pretty consistent. It's been about 8 or 9 points.
All right, let's do the, let's start with Georgia, okay? Georgia is 4 million votes cast so far in Georgia. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
48% Republican, 45% Democrats, 7% other.
You want Republican plus
you
three.
You want to see the gender there?
We call these the stalker cross tests.
56% women, 44% men.
That's a little bigger.
That's not good.
That's a little bigger than national.
Yeah. Let's do North Carolina.
Yep.
North Carolina. This is 4.4 million ballots cast so far already in North Carolina. 35% other. 33% Republican, 32% Democrat. So the independents running away, not running away with it, but have the lead right now in North Carolina. Let's look at that gender gap there. It is 55% women, 44% men.
Wow.
All right, let's go to, where should we go next? We'll go to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania, 57% Democrat, 33% Republican, 10% other. And that's with 1.7 million ballots.
All right. So if we are going
Pennsylvania lacking in the early voting and mail-in.
That's disappointing. My path of least resistance, so Democrats plus 24 in PA, Republicans plus 1 in Carolina, but mm-hmm. independents lead the way. And then in Georgia, Republicans plus 3. All right, let's go out to the West. What do we got? Arizona, Nevada.
Let me do gender real fast in PA. Gender is 56% women, 43% men. I just want to see the age too. The age tells you a lot. 50% 65 and over. Okay, make of that what you will, guys.
Are older women the smartest people on the planet, as far as taking advantage of?
No,
they're just the
group that gets out and votes more than any other group.
Right, well, I'm saying, well, that would make them smart, right?
But I'm just,
if you want to win elections,
I'm just saying they're banking on the Trump campaign is banking on the groups that don't always come out and vote. You know what I mean? Like when you have, you know, the women, the older women who are in your, at least that's what. It says that are in your camp and they're coming out and voting early.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Put your advisor cap on.
Yeah.
Let's say pretend you're Frank Luntz or James Carville here.
Yep.
If you have your base and you're trying to expand your base mm-hmm. because you need base plus and base is not enough, would you have advised Trump not to reach out to the young Gen Z that typically are not overly active? Where would you have reallocated it? Would you have said try to go for older women?
Suburban women, yeah.
Okay.
That's where I would have gone. I know everybody's, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Let's go to Michigan.
Okay, Michigan.
46% Democrat, 43% Republican.
Now that got better.
11% other. Yes.
That has gotten better for Republicans over the last couple of days. It was a wider gap than Democrats plus 3. All right, that's encouraging.
Let's look at gender. 55% women, 45% men.
Okay.
You always assume, Greg, that women are going to. Okay, but I mean, why are you bringing up women? You think women are going to skew for Harris?
Well, I mean, if you, well, no, I mean, white women have gone for, they went for Trump in 16. They went for Trump by an even larger margin in 20. So no, I'm not saying that women are automatically going to go for Harris. I'm just telling you that that since Roe, this has been kind of turned upside down. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah. Michigan.
Wisconsin.
Let's do Wisconsin. All right, Wisconsin. Where are we here? If you go on this map, this is not easy. Other is winning at 40%, 34% Democrat, 26% Republican.
Them plus 8.
So, by the way, only 1.4, 1.5 million ballots cast, so it's not a ton. So we've talked a lot about Iowa. Yep. I want to go to Iowa because I think it's interesting.
All right. And don't forget, I still want to do Arizona and Nevada as well.
I get you. Iowa, which is, by the way, basically like the sister state of Wisconsin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Iowa right now, because that poll that just came out by Ann Selzer says that Kamala Harris is within the point or has a 3-point lead over Trump in Iowa. 40% Republicans, 39% Democrats, 21% other. That's Iowa.
Republicans plus one.
And that's only 600,000 ballots cast. Now, I don't know how many people are in the state of Iowa.
601,000.
let's look at gender for Iowa. 55% women, 45% men.
Okay.
Women are running away with the early voting.
This is why we should never have allowed women to vote. That mistake over 100 years ago needs to be rectified, folks.
All right, let's go to Arizona. Arizona, with the Republicans have a nice lead in Arizona, 42% Republicans, 33% Democrats, 25% other.
All right, Republicans plus 9. And then Nevada?
Nevada is Republicans 38%, Democrats 34%, 28% other.
Okay. So, assuming they are voting for who these numbers suggest, let's just say for the sake of conversation, Republicans are voting for Trump, Democrats are voting for Harris. Of course, there could be some crossover. I get it. So Republicans are doing a good job in Georgia, in North Carolina, in Arizona, and Nevada. Democrats are doing the better job in PA, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Folks, I'm just here to say that that is my most dreaded scenario. Because if these numbers are indicators, and I'm not saying they are.
They're not.
It's a total entry-level observation.
This is just raw. Like, everybody's like, check this person. Check. Oh, no, I'm just giving everybody raw data. Yes. That's all I'm doing.
The worst possible scenario is 270 to 268 in favor of Harris. If Harris wins by 2 votes in the Electoral College, let's say that Trump takes both Georgia and Carolina and Arizona and Nevada. But Kamala sweeps the 3, I call them the Big Ten states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. That would give her 270 to 268. That, I guarantee you, will cause a media S-storm, and we will have 6 or 8 weeks of non-stop chaos in this country on social media, on mainstream media, on talk radio. That'd be tremendous for anybody in broadcasting from a rating standpoint. But that is the outcome that is going to stick in the keister of Trump fans, myself included, because that I would, and this is the truth, in sports and in life, I would rather get blown out in defeat than lose a nail biter and a heartbreaker. Like if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, I would rather lose 52-0 than lose on a last second field goal from 55 yards, because it just rips your guts out that you're that close. If Harris is going to win, I hope she wins going away, because I don't want to lose and have to sit here and lose my mind over, well, did one person make the difference, but, you know, was it this little pocket or that little pocket or what could have been? Like, if she's the great candidate, then God bless you, knock yourself out.
I mean, look, the saving grace in all of this, and everybody's taking from this what they will. I'm just reading numbers and giving stats from raw data that's been collected already. The male Trump voters need to show up on election day, and maybe they will.
I think they have before. I do think they will. And the reason I say that is because I can't
You can always count on men to to show up somewhere. And
well, because the question is very simple. If not now, then when?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like if you sit this one out, what else has to happen for you to get off your butt? I really can't envision how much it could be any worse. But the sad part is, the truth is, she's actually worse than Joe.
Yeah.
So it could be worse. But I don't want to have to sit there and wait, well, 2028 will be the year we finally right the wrongs. By the way, I've played through every... I would encourage people to check this out. Go to 270towin.com and just flip around the seven different swing states from blue to red and look at all the different computations it spits back out at you. You know, right now it's I have on the last one I have 270 to 268. And if you flip Pennsylvania, it's 287 to 251 Trump.
I know you love this site?
Oh, Dawn, I'm just sitting here playing with it all day long. I've even tried flipping California for S's and giggles. Yep. Just to see what it would look like.
Hang on. Doug Emhoff wants to weigh in.
Yeah.
Kamala did what Kamala always does. She just put her head down and she went to work.
There's some levity for you, everybody. Relax.
Yeah. A lot of people on edge, Stalker.
Dawn, any takeaways from those numbers?
So here's the thing with Pennsylvania, our coveted number 19, right?
Yep.
If Trump can pull off Pennsylvania, then that, even if he loses Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, which I don't think he loses all of those, but those are all the toss-ups, Nevada, Arizona, out there out west where abortion's on the ballot, then he wins it, 238 to 226.
Michael on the YouTube chat says, Greg, you're relying on these people telling the truth when they come out to these polls. This is raw data. Mm-hmm. These are people who have voted.
Yeah.
By party registration, age, and gender.
I know.
There's nothing. This is raw data. That's all I'm giving you.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is, so if you take, so if Trump, so 270, if Trump, I believe, gets Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylynia,
That's 270 to 268.
Does not need Wisconsin.
Right. Yep.
Does not need Michigan, so Nevada, Arizona.
That's where you're going, Dawn. That's your. Well,
270 to 268, we just gave you both scenarios, how it ends up 270 to 268. If Harris takes the three Big Ten states and Trump takes the four other states, it's Harris by two. If Trump takes just Pennsylvania, Carolina, and Georgia, but she takes Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, it's Trump by two. And then, same thing applies. Kamala Harris and the Democrats are going to lose their ever-loving mind for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yep.
And take this to the bank, because I know everybody's going to say, well, Trump's revving up for claiming it was stolen, it was rigged, he won't acknowledge it, he won't concede, he'll claim victory early. Take it to the bank, the Democrats are going to contest this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey Abrams, Hillary Clinton. There's plenty of history of Democrats being election deniers as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it works both ways.
If Kamala Harris wins, you're going to hear a lot of, this is the end! The end! Our democracy is over!
Meanwhile, Morning Joe and all these hacks are like, our ratings are back for the next 100%.
Yeah, don't let these people fool you. Yeah. They want a Trump victory more than you do.
Trust me, they do. Who was it last week we played? It was in the interview setting with Tapper, and they said to Tapper, "Oh, it's going to be great for your network if Trump wins." And Tapper kind of alluded to the fact that
Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
Let me play one more from John Fetterman, and then we're going to break and come back and do, because we spent a lot of time on that, and I have like a million cuts here. John Fetterman says, this is cut three, Phil. John Fetterman says that he actually doesn't believe that Pennsylvania will take 2-4 days to announce the election results.
Okay.
Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Before I let you go, when do you think we will have a result in Pennsylvania, as somebody who was on the ballot 2 years ago?
For example, in all the votes, Allegheny County has done a magnificent job, even in 2020. I mean, I'd like to remind everybody that's watching, back in 2020, Pennsylvania just instituted brand new mail voting. Mm-hmm. And then the Republicans refused to. They refused to change the vote, the law. They're not able to look at those kinds of ballots at 7 a.m. on election day. they refused to allow us to give it extra days to do that. Because the Republicans tried to create the mirage out of Philadelphia. But I do believe that Philadelphia is not going to have the kind of a lag that we had in 2020 because there's no pandemic. And now we're aware that what's necessary.
Do you want to wager to guess when we're going to know?
I would say, of course. Again, I think perhaps it's certainly not going to be like it was in 2020. It's not going to be about 2 or 3 or 4 days coming out of Philadelphia. And I'd like to say Al Schmidt, he was the hero in Pennsylvania in 2020 out of Philadelphia as a Republican, and now he's in charge of all that process here in Pennsylvania. So, you know, we have the right guy for the right time, and then I do believe he's going to deliver an honest, true reflection of the Pennsylvania voters, their will.
Pennsylvania Democratic Senator John Fetterman.
There you go.
All right, there he is, Fetterman. So I believe a lot of people are saying the over-under on when we will know is Saturday. If memory serves me correct, in 2016.
Saturday. It's not gonna be Saturday.
You don't think so? Oh, I do. I really do. I mean, think about this. In 2020, it took us, what, 4 days? 3 days? 4 days? Now, obviously, a pandemic year. Rewind to 2016. I think it was 2 or 3 in the morning, election night into Wednesday morning. I mean, I'm not saying 2000 all over again, but Maricopa County has already told us could take 10 to 13 days. Now, I guess maybe it doesn't matter if Trump automatically wins PA, North mm-hmm. Carolina, and Georgia.
Exactly.
Then Maricopa can be thrown out the window. It's irrelevant. It's just window dressing at that point. But Pennsylvania, Arizona, I could see Thursday or Friday. I think we could get to the point where we're talking about not. I'll tell you this much: we're going to be on the air from 7 to 11. I don't think anything's going to be concluded by then, because you have to keep in mind these West Coast states, the time zone difference. So we're talking about what, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock Eastern. Which would be 7 or 8 Pacific, or I don't know, is Arizona part mountain, part Pacific? I forget the way their state operates. But we're not going to know that night. And I don't even know that we'll know on Wednesday morning. There's going to be no big take, by the way, if there's no winner on Wednesday. We're just going to spitball after the news.
But what about, you know, I think we should be talking about the House and Senate as well.
Yeah.
So you think, so in the Senate, you think about what in the House, Democrats need to what? They have to net just 4 seats to take control.
The Senate is relying on John Tester's seat in Montana.
Control. Ohio's Sherrod Brown.
Yeah,
that's in play. And Dave McCormick has done himself well. I mean, that even though I know that the latest polls say that McCormick is way down, I think McCormick has run a great campaign. And it's closer than anybody could have imagined. But can McCormick pull out a win in Pennsylvania? And will Trump help that? How does that look?
It would be a stunner. I would be ecstatic.
T-Base on the YouTube chat asks if we can send Fetterman a Kale & Company sweatshirt.
Yeah. I think he would wear it.
17XL.
Yes.
17XL.
Big and tall.
Can we break here? Because I have so much. Did you guys hear what Biden said over the weekend? What he wants to do to... Trump.
I did see that.
And by the way,
Joe.
Sorry.
What guy does that?
Well, yeah.
To another guy.
Let's see. Well, that's
my team.
What is he saying here? Like, what's going on here? Plus Jason Kelsey. Can we get to Jason Kelsey and
Kylie?
The fan running
and the Embiid situation
at Penn State.
Yeah.
I
got to go off on all of them.
Plus, I have all this stuff from that happened in Bucks County over the weekend.
Yes. You're talking about Levittown, right?
Levittown, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that.
Long lines.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Hopefully there's not a long line to get to the men's room, because that's where I'm heading. It's Kale & Company.
Wait,
as we
first.
Continue.
You have something here.
I do
you?
Have something here.
Yeah, thank you.
You have something here.
If you have something here, what we have here is not a failure to communicate,
Kamala did what Kamala always does.
Yeah.
She just put her head down and she went to work.
That's right. She went to work on DuckDuckGo. That's what she was doing.
Just for you, Don.
Yeah, she was DuckDuckGoing stuff, because we're all sick of Google. We're all tired of the suppression and the spying and, as the kiddies would say, the snooping on us. It's just terrible. But that's why I'm proud to partner with DuckDuckGo. It is the best search engine going, and they are local. And now they've decided to take your online privacy and security to the next level. And by the way, they didn't have to do this. They were already great, but they want to be even better, which is why you should take advantage of what I have done. Use their subscription-based service, Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. It is a 3-in-1 privacy service that will give you a secure VPN anytime, anywhere. If you're working remotely on any of your devices, up to 5, by the way. How cool is that? Secondly, they provide you identity theft protection because we don't want anybody to steal our identity. I don't know why anybody would steal mine, but you know, it could happen. So secure yourself. And then the third leg of this, the personal information removal, right? Everything is out there on the internet. All of our information has been put out there. So let's get that removed once and for all. Take advantage of this special offer today exclusively for my listeners. Here's what you do. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210. You got to put the /1210 for a free 7-day trial offer. And then after that, it's just $10 a month. duckduckgo.com/1210.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Oki says, Nick, Greg, Don, please keep repeating on Kale and Company that the vote by mail voters who do not have the, quote, ballot received status can vote in person tomorrow via provisional ballot.
So at least 500,000 people.
Is that what that number is?
Reportedly, that's okay. The number.
All right. She goes on to say, I'm assuming it's a she, me and my husband still have not got the ballot received status. So, again, if you, I'll repeat that. So, if you're in that boat, this would apply to you. The vote by mail voters who don't have the ballot received status can vote in person tomorrow via provisional ballot. And, okay, it looks like we've got some callers too that actually want to weigh in on that. You want to get to the calls first, sure, or we'll continue with. Yeah. Let me just grab, because this is, we've got Bob in Malvern, and this is along the same lines. Bob, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Bob, you go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. The topic is absolutely perfect. Let me give you exactly what happened to me and my wife.
Okay.
We applied for ballots at the exact same time via the same computer. Within minutes, we get confirmations that the application's been received. A week later, 2 ballots come in the mail to the same mailbox. A week later, we fill them out. We fill them out perfectly. We literally match the outside and inside envelopes identical, except for our names. We go down to and this is Chester County, which is supposed to be the flagship, example of everyone doing it right. We go down to the county building where there's a drop box with 2 witnesses and a camera. We drop them in the box at the exact same time. And 2 weeks later, and I'm going to tell you what's the difference. 2 weeks later, mine's received, hers is not. And I did an experiment. Prior to doing this, I registered as a Democrat just for the fun of it to see if it was going to matter. What do you think about that?
And let me guess, it went through? I thought you were going to continue with your story.
Oh, no. And I got a second example that's even worse. Mine is counted, hers is not. And the DNC rep in the area reached out to, quote-unquote, our household saying, hey, do you know that somebody in your household has not yet voted? And it's like, can you believe this? And if you want to hear something worse, my daughter-in-law is a minority leader in her precinct. I'll leave the names out, okay?
Yep.
I'm a poll watcher and a poll worker, so I go through the same training she goes through every year. This is Chester County, Westtown Road County building. She, in her training session this time around, it's the same training you get every year, okay? There's something at the end of the day in Pennsylvania counties called reconciliation. You count the used ballots, the unused ballots. You compare them against the voter rolls. You compare them in the signature sheets. And most importantly, against the number that spits out on the machine that supposedly doesn't talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. She was told, quote, unquote, in her training, don't worry about that process this time around. You don't have to count any ballots. The machines are never wrong. Their counts are perfect.
That's a load of crap. Yeah.
That's a lot of crap.
Bob, you're totally right. And this is why I continue to be an advocate for the most, and thank you so much for the call, Bob, the most simplistic measures, in-person voting, same day, paper ballots, ID, get in, get out. Mm-hmm. We convolute and we make this such a muddy, murky process when it doesn't have to be that way, Dawn.
Yes, and just a reminder, so even if you're in that boat, you can still go to the vote, your voting place tomorrow and vote, as I said earlier. This is from our election integrity attorney, RNC attorney, Linda Kearns, who said, don't be afraid or hesitant to just do the provisional ballot. It still goes through. Your vote will count. That's number one. Number two, make sure that no matter what happens tomorrow, stand your ground. Fight, fight, fight. Stay in line. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, stay in line. They have to process you. They have to take you. Mm-hmm. And that's precedent. That's law.
Yep. Can I play, before you take another call, can I take this this Biden clip? He was in Scranton. I think he was in Scranton, right, Dawn? Was he in Scranton?
Biden?
I think it was
Scranton. I believe so.
They cannot muzzle this guy fast enough.
Which is fascinating because Friday, before I checked out for the weekend, like around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Jackie Heinrich had a report saying that Biden was pretty much removed from had no more appearances scheduled.
All those reports are bunk because when the same report was coming out that they don't want him on the campaign trail anymore, he was in Pittsburgh that weekend.
I know. So, it's
because they need him, because the truth is they need him. That's what they've realized. And we talked about this with our own brand manager, Greg Stocker. Yeah. Right? Brand matters. And Biden has a brand that relates to the working person, especially the working man, that does not resonate with his vice president.
Uh-huh. All right. This is he said this about MAGA Republicans. Mm-hmm. Cut eight, Phil, go.
There's one more thing Trump and his Republican friends want to do. They want another giant tax cut for the wealthy. Now, I know some of you guys are tempted to think it's macho guy. I'll tell you what, man. When I was in Scranton, we used to have a little trouble going down the plot once in a while. For green reasons. But I'm serious. These are the kind of guys you like to smack in the ass.
I'm sorry, what?
By the way, I'm serious. Think about it.
He got to finish it off with.
I'm serious. Think about it.
Exactly right. You know, so he calls Trump supporters garbage, and now you got to smack him in the ass. You know, it's fascinating that Kamala's running ads that she's a campaign. She's the choice for all Americans. Yet old pudding brains out here, and he's throwing stink bomb grenades at half the country. I bring this up all the time. Trump will go after the media. Trump will go after Democrat officials and politicians. Trump has never badmouthed Democrat voters. Mm-hmm. Never.
He wants their vote.
This is amazing. This is amazing to me. Smack him in the ass.
First of all, what guy? Yeah. That's not even regular guy talk.
No, it's not.
Do guys do that?
It's not. No, no, no.
Like, do you go around?
No. Nope.
Okay. You know, back in the day when I was playing sports, you give your buddy a little pat on the keister. That a boy, Skip. Yeah, way to
weird.
Go, brother.
That's weird. That's weird. I'm sorry.
I don't know any guy who's done that.
I know this. Like,
it's an old school thing.
I know it's a jock thing. It is weird. It is weird. Hey, buddy, good game. Psh,
like, yeah, there's a couple of offensive linemen.
How about you
day?
Just, you know, tap me on the elbow or the shoulder or on the back?
I used to love giving it to my offensive linemen. They had big rumps.
Huh.
You put that on the board for me.
What the...
Wow. Her left tackle played at Lafayette. God. They bought that a boy, Bob. Boom, right on the keister.
Oh, man.
That a boy, keep blocking. Anytime they get open. That boy, Bobo. Yeah, big rump. It's all right. You guys hang me out to dry with your ruffling of your papers.
Nick Kale.
I'm going to do that
Nick
one day.
Kale.
Just remember.
He likes big
butts.
Yeah, just
butts. Remember. I like big rumps. I like big rumps and I cannot lie.
It's weird, man.
Oh,
remember,
my goodness.
Remember back in the day, you'd have the family dinner and mom would get the rump roast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cooking a rump roast, Nikki.
All right, we haven't gotten Jason Kelce, and I want to hear from both of you on this. So let's do that on the other side.
Let's do that. It's Kale and Company. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. We're talking specifically about the Hyundai Tucson 2025 models. They're out there, and the brand's most popular SUV for Hyundai is now yours for the taking. Bold New Design. Bold New Design has plenty of cargo space for that big rump of yours. While its standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage keeps you prepared for any adventure, it also protects you and your family. It'll keep that keister safe with a best-in-class safety rating. Visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown. They're conveniently located just off of Route 422 or Piazza Hyundai, where I've been many times in Westchester, right off of Route 202. Online anytime, PiazzaHyundai.com.
You've heard me talk about Chapman windows, doors, and siding for years now, for nearly a decade. How much I love my new patio doors, the work they've done in my home with windows being replaced. So you know by now, if I needed windows, doors, or siding, I would only trust the Chapman team. Did you know that they also install shutters? A perfect complement, right, to your new windows. So for the entire month of November, this is something sweet and special. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, giving away a pair of shutters when you purchase two pairs. So the right shutters obviously can really enhance the curb appeal of your home. So whether you or somebody you know, maybe you're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, or all those beautiful hardware choices as well, give them a call or text them. They're local. They're like-minded. They're listening right now, 610-431-8898. You can always take a virtual tour. I love to do this. Look at all. I was doing this last night, looking at their before and after photos, which is really fun to look at. Visit them online, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.